Good morning. My name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors. Happy New Year. 2020 is over, right? It's like, yeah, we're done with 2020. Which to most of us means 2021 is going to be easy, right? But if I know anything about life, it's that it never becomes suburban. That's how one author says it. It's always the frontier. It always requires faith. You're going to have some trials this year as well. But I promise you, God is faithful. And God's going to walk through those with us. And I'm glad 2020, some of it is over. And yet I think God drew us a lot and taught us a lot. And so every day is kind of a new start. And it's a new week, too. So a new week is a new start. And then I feel like a year is kind of, it's a good time just to look back on where we've been, what we're doing, think through some things. Good time to start an exercise plan, at least for a week or two. And good time to kind of just realize where we're going. And so I wanted to remind us of that this morning. So, and you may know, but where we're going as a church, our mission is to be a life-giving church. That is our mission. That is our direction. That is where we are headed. That is the waters we are charting and our focus. And so to be a life-giving church, and we want to invite you all into that. And a church is not just an event Sunday morning. And a church is not just a location. But biblically, a church is a group of people. And as a group of people, together, we, our desire, our hope, our direction is to be a life-giving church. A group of people who are bringing life. And as our passion is, our direction, our kind of guide in that, Ezekiel 47:9 says, where the river flows, everything will live. And so in order to be a life-giving church, in order to give life, we recognize that where the river flows, there is life. And that river is the movement of God. And so where God is moving, there is life. And as such, we get to be vessels of God. We get to be vessels of what God is doing to bring life. And so, some of you guys have probably heard that 100 times. You're going to hear that a lot. That is definitely the direction that we want to go, that we are on, is to be people who bring life as vessels of God's power, as vessels of God. And so, we're going to go through 4 different series. Thank you. We're going to go through 4 different series. We've already went through one, just kind of looking at aspects of what that means to be a life-giving church. And a big part of that is receiving. In order for us to give life, we have to receive life. And so in this process of receiving and giving, we looked at eternal life, the salvation, the gift that comes through Christ of eternal life, life everlasting. And we're going to spend 4 weeks looking at our relationship with God. And I think these areas are all connected together. But our relationship with God, we have a tremendous opportunity through Christ to have a relationship with God. And so God's been at work in my life a long time. You guys can probably relate to this. Even when I was young, I saw kind of the murmurings of God at work. I could see God tug in my heart. I could see God's gifts. I could see God drawing me in towards Him. I started to develop a spiritual hunger at a young age. And even though we didn't go to church, I really wanted God. There was something that in me that longed for God. And as I got parts of the Bible and was able to read and explore and like see some of the truths of God, you just fuel that hunger even more. And then in college, I had some friends who explained to me a little more of what Christ had done and how rather than just erasing my slate of sins every night like I often did or tried to do, I could enter into a relationship where I'd be completely clean. And I would say in my life, I have a lot of amazing blessings. My marriage is one of the top blessings in my life. But I would say having a relationship with God is the greatest thing in my life. Being able to know and to be able to experience and to have a relationship with the living God of the universe is better than anything. It's the greatest thing I know of. It's the greatest thing I have. And it's amazing that we're invited into that. And my relationship with God continues to grow. I often feel like just an infant. Like I hardly know anything. Sometimes I feel like I got it all figured out. That lasts for about a moment, usually. And then that ends really fast. But I want to look at this relationship that we have with the amazing God today. And I want to look at today how God has revealed himself. God the Magnificent has chosen to reveal himself. He has chosen to make himself known to us. And that's a pretty amazing thing. Let's pray and let's look at a piece of this magnificent God who has revealed himself to us. So, God, thank you for this new year, this new week, this new day. Thank you for your mercies that are new. Thank you for your love and faithfulness. Thank you that as we look ahead, we don't know what the future holds, but we know that you hold the future. We know that you are faithful and good. Thank you for being in our lives. God, I ask that every person here would grow in their relationship with you this year, that they would fall in love with you more and more this year, that they would see your magnificence more and more, that they would love you, that they would honor you, that you would have a higher and higher place in my heart, in each of our hearts, that we would see you at work and allow you to work. God, you are the best thing in my life. Without you, I have nothing. This world has nothing that compares to you. You are the strength of our hearts. You are our portion. You are God. We love you. Give us hearts that honor you. God, draw us into that place. Teach us how to walk with you. Soften our hearts to fall in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to look at Colossians 1, verse 12. So if you guys want to turn to that, if you have a phone or a Bible, I know there's some Bibles around. If you're at home, make a mad dash to grab a Bible or a phone, and if you want to look up Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. I'm going to read out of the NIV. All right, so starting in 12, we're kind of in the middle of a prayer that Paul is giving. He says, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father meaning God the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." All right, so just looking at that, we've been talking about that some. What an amazing thing. I liked Tom's testimony. Who has qualified us to share in this amazing inheritance? Not us. God has qualified us. He has made us good enough. He has given us the qualities we need for the inheritance of the holy people, of the saints in the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's the one that pulled us out. And we get to walk in the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of Christ, in whom, in Jesus, we have this redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we're going to go through this next section. It is all on the supremacy of the Son of God. How magnificent is Christ? How amazing is Jesus? So, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. All right, there's a lot in there. That is quite a section. We're going to read through that one more time. I want to just review the word reconcile. Reconcile means to turn things that were opposed, to make them at peace, to turn from enemies to friends, to make good on that, to reconcile. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. All right, we're going to go through this a little by little, but the first point that I want to draw out today is that in our relationship with God, there's a mix. There's a spiritual knowing, and there is spiritual mystery. Did anybody in here, as we read that, go like, oh yeah, I understand 100% of what that means? Did anybody else have that same sense of like, whoa, there is a depth of mystery in this that I could mine my entire life and still not fully understand? Thomas Aquinas, he wrote volumes and volumes about God. And then later in his life, he had a revelation about God, just like a new understanding of God. And he said, everything I've written is like straw. I won't even write anymore. Compared to how I see God now. And each of us has an amazing gift to know this spiritual mystery, to know and understand God, because God has wanted to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him. And yet at the same time, we will never fully understand God, because we cannot, because he's God. And there will always be a spiritual mystery in our lives. And so I want to just lay that out as we walk through this. If any of you completely understands the Trinity, try to explain it to me. Because every analogy has its little flaws. Every understanding is only partial. I believe in the Trinity, and we're looking at that today. The Trinity means that there is only one God. And yet, God exists in three beings, in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there is not three gods. There is only one God. And he exists in relationship. And so one analogy is like a diamond and has different facets. Put that on the internet and see how fast that gets chewed up. It's a nice analogy, but it's not perfect. It doesn't explain the mystery of the Trinity. And yet, I believe Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is God. And I believe there's only one God. And it is a profound mystery. And yet, to me, if I understood God perfectly, I don't know, it'd be harder to believe. I think it's good that God is a mystery on some sense. And I love that he reveals himself to us. Okay, so we're going to go through this. First amazing thing, it says, so we're going to look at all these things about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the image of the invisible God. So God is invisible, and yet Jesus made the invisible visible. The image of God, we can see. What is God like? We can see in Jesus. He is the image of the invisible. The Son of God reveals the Father. He is the likeness, the image of God. He is the firstborn over all creation. And this is a pretty powerful word, firstborn. In our culture, being the firstborn has a different context. It usually just means you have more responsibility than all the younger siblings, and a little more pressure, and you better be a good example because everybody's watching you. But part of the context of firstborn is firstborn came with a lot of rank. And so Jesus being the firstborn says a couple things. One, that he's first in time. Jesus existed before any other person. Jesus has existed before time. And then the second, in rank, he is the firstborn. He's the jefe. He's the chief. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's the boss. He's the commander. He's the ruler. He is over all. In him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. So, in Christ, all things were created. This is one of the most important truths about God, that God is a creator. God created all things. The reason things exist is because God created them. And he created them through Christ, through the Son. He had power in that. And I don't know if you, what inspires you, what things that have been created give you awe? Just go, whoa. I'm going to give an opportunity for you guys to throw that out. What in creation makes you go like, that is awesome? Cool. So plants that have seeds, and then the seeds, like there's this little seed, and it reproduces this entire plant, tree, and it just, that's amazing. Like, you get a little seed, like, this is going to turn into some crazy kind of plant with flowers and who knows what. That is, I'm with you, that is cool. It's like, whoever created that is awesome. Anybody else have something that just makes you, just gives you a sense of wow? The ocean, yeah. Awesome, the Grand Canyon. Both of those are so big. You go there and you realize, wow, I am like a little ant. And I could either fall off and, or I could just get squished by this ocean. The power and magnificence of those bring this sense of awe. And then to think of the one who created those. Yeah. It's amazing to me, the vastness of the cosmos. from way beyond the planets to the stars and other galaxies. What an amazing creative God we have. And here's the amazing thing that I'm drawing into this, is that that wasn't just God beyond our understanding, but Jesus, who came to earth, who revealed God, he created these things. And the amazing works of people, he created people with the ability to do these things. And now look what this says. It says not only the things on earth, but the things in heaven. So now that can be the heavens we can see, but it's also the heavens that are invisible, the spiritual realities, the legions of angels that exist that we cannot see. God, through Christ, created those. He created, if you read Revelations or Ezekiel, these wild spiritual beings that exist. There's an entire invisible dimension of life that God created that impacts us, that is all around us. And then to go on, he created the thrones and powers and rulers and authorities. He created the spiritual powers. Some of them are in a rebellion to God. Some of them are in submission to God that affect the whole cosmos. Again, this is an amazing truth to know and understand. And I love that in the Bible, we have revelation from God. God spoke to Paul. God spoke to others. These amazing, profound truths, and we have them recorded. And there's still a profound mystery, and there's even mysteries we know nothing about. Like Paul said, God showed me some things, and he said, I could never tell you. I'm not allowed to let you know. They're too amazing. All things have been created through him and for him. So not only did he create these things, but they're also for him. Did you know you were created not just for your own sake, but for God? You were created for him. You were created for his sake, to bring him glory, to reveal part of who he is in who you are. God created all of this through Christ and for him, for his sake. That's really cool to me. With a purpose. I like that he created me for him. He is before all things. So again, before means in time he is before, and also he has first place. You want to know who has first place in this universe? Jesus has first place in this universe. Sometimes I think that's me, but it's actually not. That God has first place. Christ is before all things. And in him all things hold together. I don't know exactly what this means, but it makes me geek out a little bit on the fundamental forces of physics. And they've been trying to figure out how gravity and electromagnetic forces and weak forces and strong forces, what holds the universe together? Why does gravity work? I don't know, but I think God holds it all together, one way or another, through gravity and through all that as well. But God holds it all together. God created it, and he sustains it. He preserves it. He keeps it all together. I love this in my life. Christ continues to hold me together when the forces want to crumble me apart. God holds everything in the universe together. And through his son, Christ. And I use that back and forth because I do just acknowledge the Trinity. Christ is the head of the body, the church. So remember, the church is us, it's the people. It's not just our service on Sunday or the place we meet. But he's our head. And there's different ways to think of head. One is that he's like the head and we're the body parts, which means he's in charge. The brain, the head, kind of tells things what to do. It also looks out for things. It also brings food. So he nourishes us. He takes care of us. He looks out for us. He directs us. Head can also mean source, like the head of a river. And so he's our source. Christ is our source. He is the source of the whole church. This is not just our doing. We come up with these great things. But he's our power. He's our source. Where the river flows, we live. There's life. And Christ the Magnificent, he is the beginning. He is before time even started. He is the firstborn again from the dead. So again, firstborn, he was the first one to die and come back to life. But also, he's the chief. He's the firstborn over all who have died and have been raised again to life. So that in everything, he might have the supremacy. Okay, so Jesus is the ruler of all things. He is in charge. He is awesome. He created, he sustains, he is the purpose for all of it. He is so powerful. And if you see descriptions, if we saw Christ as he was in his fullness, all of us would just be flat on our faces. And here's the wild thing. But that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And then he was pleased through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The most powerful being who has a right to walk in and say, you do this, you go there, you, who is the supreme King of kings, Lord of lords. What did he do? He came and gave his life. And he came and made peace. He didn't come with a hammer and say, you're going to all listen to me. He came and died and brought peace. And because of that, in our relationship with God, there's an open invitation. What this means to me is that even if it wasn't a new year, we don't have to keep walking on the same course. You do not have to continue in rebellion, whatever that place is. And I think if he was such a, if we had a harsh God, and we were already rebels, it would just make it worse. We would just continue being rebels and we would just, like, continue our fight. But we don't have to rebel anymore. There is a path out of rebellion for all of us. There's a path to change, a path to turn, because he's opened up that path. The beautiful thing is that there's always that invitation. One of the things in my life, I really like going for prayer walks. I don't know why it helps me pray. I just go for a walk and talk to God and think and process. And what's beautiful is sometimes I feel guilty. I have like some guilt in my life. And sometimes I'm afraid of God. I was realizing this before. I don't know if you guys have ever felt afraid of God. Or it's like, I don't know if I really want to go to God. I don't know, and I don't know why I'm scared. I appreciate it. Recently I read A.W. Tozer. He was saying, we should hide from God in God. We go to God as a place to hide even when we're afraid of God. And when I go for a prayer walk, the beautiful thing is there's always an open invitation. You can always come to God, regardless of what just happened. You can walk before the throne, come into his presence. There's an open door at all times. And we don't have to continue on a path of rebellion. We don't have to binge on our sins. We don't have to like, well, I already started, I might as well finish. We already started on a path of sin. We don't have to finish it. We can stop and come back, and he will just welcome us with open arms. Because he never leaves us in the middle of that. In in our relationship with God, I think there's two really appropriate responses. One is of overwhelming fear, and one is of really grateful love. There is an amazing, overwhelming fear if you realize how amazing God is. And it's so easy to try to make God like a little idol or our own little genie or a little puppet, someone who just serves our desires. But when we realize the power of God and how at the throne of God, everyone bows down, thousands upon thousands of angels just bowing before God, these amazing beasts bowing, all the elders, and then all of us come and just give ourselves, give our worship. He is so magnificent that to even fathom how powerful God is would bring such a fear, such a chill, such an awe, like, whoa, God, you are amazing, into our being. And yet he's so gentle and he loves us so deeply. So we wanted to invite you guys over this next month. We collected a list of verses. Thank you all that sent in some of those. The hope is that as we take those verses and read them and meditate on them, that we will grow in a greater understanding of God. And I would imagine there might even be a greater sense of mystery too. Like, wow, now I understand God way more. And now I also go, whoa, God is way beyond my understanding. So what we want to ask you guys to do over the next 4 weeks is to jump in with us and read through this list of verses and chew on it. Think about it. The word is meditate on it. By meditate, we mean like contemplate it, think about it, digest it, dissect it, look at it. And I want to invite you to try to let that go beyond just your head of learning more about God in your head, but allow it to soak into your heart and even into that place of wow, like what an amazing God I have. This God who is so amazing, he would give his life for me. He would die for me. He would love me so much that he wants to know me. God wants to be in a relationship with all of us. He wants to know us and be known by us. Why don't we close? Jesus, I just thank you for how magnificent you are. I want to know you more, and yet I know I'm afraid of you. I know you are awesome. God, I ask that you would give us hearts that honor you. Give us hearts that see you for how great you are, that love you, that turn to you. God, I pray that in my heart I would turn to you more and more, that I would see your magnificence. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for wanting me. Thank you that you welcome me with open arms every day. Thank you that you know me. Thank you that you desire to be known. God, I ask that you would make us a people who love you more than our own interests, who love your interests, who love you and follow you. I ask that you would reveal yourself to us this year in new ways, that we would see your magnificence, that we would see you as greater than ourselves, that we would see you as greater than our desires, that we would see you as greater than the things that we pursue that end up just being empty. God, you are the supremacy. You are the fullness. You are the source and the author. You are everything. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of healing. Thank you for the gift of newness and love. Thank you that you would care to die for me, that you would give your life to me. We love you and honor you. May you be king of our church and king of our lives. May we walk with you this year in a depth and a closeness. May you satisfy the desires of every person here with good things. May you give us hearts of boldness that don't turn aside, but that walk with you in trust and confidence. Thank you that you walk with us with whatever this year throws, whatever this day throws at us, whatever this week. Thank you that we can trust you. We love you and desire you. In Jesus' name, amen.